Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile showed the reason. I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sweet Discussion here on All Poetry. My name is Sweet Pea, and I am glad to have everyone here. Tonight, we are going to be talking about a beautiful saying and a contest I had. First, I want to thank Kevin over at All Poetry and Deb with Team of Voices, who I am a part of, a great little group with inside All Poetry, who we love to talk about all essence of words, languages, poems, prose, and anything else. Everyone is welcome. Come on by All Poetry, drop in, say hello, and everything will get started. Right now, there is me and my buddy Rack and Tor hanging out. How you doing, Rack? What's up? What's going on?
I'm waiting for the cows to come home.
Ooh, cows.
Oh,
cows. I'm glad the cows are coming home.
Well, they're constantly jumping over the moon, and they never want to come home, so.
I know. They're hanging out with cheddar cheese and plates, I hear. Well, one of them came home because I have part of one in my heart, so.
Uh-huh.
So I got one to come home, and he sacrificed for me. So, you know, that's what it is. I'm very happy about that. You know, I'm still a little groggy. I still got that little thing going on in my voice, you know. So I still don't sound like my sweet self.
That's okay. I enjoy your voice anyway.
I know.
Do you?
So I know. Everybody keeps telling me I got that kind of grilly grog. I don't know why everybody enjoys it. I personally do not like it at all. But I know you love every. I know you love everything about
it
me.
Works.
So I hope I hope everybody comes pretty early because I'm hoping I make it 2 hours. I really do. So if you're in the sound of my voice, come a runny. Because it's going to have to happen. Come one, come all.
Show your support.
Yeah.
Lend your voices.
So that's all there is to it. I'm pretty excited. poetry is all about a great
quote.
Yes, it's about a great quote. And that quote is dun, 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 dun. The blood on my teeth begins to taste like a poem, like religion, like the way you look at me. And I love that. I absolutely love that.
Definitely very inspiring.
You know, it is, isn't it?
I jumped all over
know,
it when
I said it. I loved it. I really did. I thought it was beautiful. I thought, you know, that's it. That's what I want to write to. I keep saying it to myself over and over and over again, and it's just there. It's just, I gotta love this. It's mine. I had a contest. It was stunning. It was beautiful. I don't run a lot of contests because, to be honest with you, I don't like judging them. It's me. I don't like judging contests. Contests are very difficult to judge. You have so many people that are so good and they write for you that it's just difficult. I had 21 poems in this contest. It was very, very, very difficult to write. It was just hard. It was hard to write. And judge and write out all the comments and, you know, say, oh my God, because they were all so good. And it's just like, these people are so damn good. And they were just brilliant. People like Myriad Dark in there. I had Dark, E-Man, Aggressman, and I had Steven 76, and I had Amanda Liu, who I've never read, and she was fantastic. Salem Adams was in there. Savonic Blue, she was fabulous and wonderful. Bella, Deb was in there. AP was in there. I can't tell you the people, Miss Little Boo was in there too. The amount of people and the just absolutely amazing rights. I was flabbergasted. No one, and I do mean no one. You just can't say, you know, you're the one, you're it. I was just like, ugh. There was a Paul Brott in there too, an Eve 831, Emma Ryan, Laughing Soul, Helen Degree, JCA, AFXB, who I've never run into, a Chapman, and I know I've screwed up your name, dude, and I'm so sorry, and his name is AKALANKA. I really enjoyed his stuff too. He had a beautiful stanza in there. I thought that was just top notch. Fran Marie, I really liked her stuff too. So I was introduced to a lot of really new poets that I've never heard their stuff. And that's really great. So I was all excited about them too. So thank you, every single one of you, for writing for my poem. I was uber, uber happy. I don't have the link for you to listen, Frank. I only have my link. I don't go. you know, blah, blah, blah. How do I get on the phone?
You're talking to the board?
I know. I am talking to the board. Hold on. I got to say hello. Hello, Allie. I believe it is. I believe this is Allie. Allie, Allie, Allie.
Adam.
Hello, Allie. How are you?
This
is Allie.
Adam.
Adam. Oh, my God. I thought you were Allie. It's Adam. Hi, Adam. I'm going to give Adam a big hug. Hello, Adam. He was
another
one. He was fabulous.
Knife, he could be Allie. With a slip of the knife, he could be Allie.
No, never. Do not take away my Adam. Do not take away my Adam in his strong, beautiful voice. I would be very unhappy. I like my Adam. Adam was one of my options. See? You hear that? Don't do that. Adam was one of my honorable mentions in this beautiful, beautiful world. He did so good, too. Such a great contest. And I'm Brian. Like I had anything to do with it. I just sat here and read things.
You pulled it out of us.
Yeah.
You take some credit.
I just put up the saying and said, hey, write to this. Because it's stunning.
Well,
I didn't do anything.
That's what pulled out of us. That's what pulled it out of us.
Yeah. No.
You deserve some credit.
That was a powerful quote.
I think so. It wasn't it, though?
It had me pulled a lot of ways, and I mean, I guess I was happy with what I wrote, but it was more like I couldn't even do justice to the quote and its its sentence. It was just powerful and inspiring. It could take you so many directions. It was awesome.
It was like,
I know. It was brilliant. I really liked it. I was very happy with it. Yeah, we just hang out with my horsey voice. I don't have a good voice right now. I'm the horsey voice. I don't know what that is, but I really liked your poem. As you know, I gave you a little ribbon for it.
Yeah, I appreciated that because I knew there was some amazing poets. You know, you mentioned them. And I felt honored to get a little ribbon.
ribbon.
It's tough to judge like that, especially when you get overwhelmed with so many pieces. It's just a difficult thing, and everybody brings a different style or angle, and it's just like, oh man, wow! And the beauty of the art.
I gotta say, it's the first time I've ever given. I ever given a haiku a ribbon, but that haiku was just like spot on. I was like, damn, that's good. Yeah, I really, really enjoy his. But, you know, I was happy. I could not do a contest on it. That's the first thing. When the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, God, perfect. And I can't even tell you where I found it, but it was really good. As a matter of fact, what we're going to do right off the top, since it is a poetry show, let's start there. I think I'm going to go ahead and put up one of my winners, and I'm going to throw up Steven, because he is a freaking rock star on this. And he was so good, just so good. I really enjoyed it. I think you guys are going to love him. So we're going to throw him on the board and let you guys listen. Because, oh, my God, I thought his was so good and just so, so good. That's all I'm going to say. All right, I'm going to send that up here, and I'm going to have you guys listen. Here we go.
I Carry Your Evil Grin in My Pocket by Stephen 76. The dripping faucet echoes in my ears as I go about my task, picking a skeleton key lock was easy, but finding you in the crowd wasn't that? Picking up a wet noodle difficulty was worth placing your cold textile skin upon the undertaker's slab. The heel of both palms and a good shove open your jaw wide. Forefinger and thumb manipulated your icy lips so I could achieve my goal. Inserting the pliers, applying just enough pressure for extraction rather than obliteration. Pulling those pearls out of chilled, arid gums. On the first few, clearly, was a bit of blood. Knowing that the only fluid in your veins is now formaldehyde. On each pull, think of that smile. That impish grin. Oh, the pleasure you took from my pain. Each tug, I hear your lowly cackling. Who's laughing now? Your frosty, moribund body lays naked against frigid metal. I'm having all the fun. Even though this is probably considered desecration of a corpse. So, I must be quick but careful as to make my exit long before the magician arrives in the so very early morning. Almost there. Yes. Now all of your perfect teeth lay in my bowl. Rubbing alcohol and water cleans up any remaining tissue. From this very hour on, every time I put my hand into my pocket, I will wriggle my fingers in incisors, molars, and bicuspids, rattling bones as you lay 2 yards beneath the soil, never feeling the sun again, while I sit upon your headstone, lulling in its warmth. End poem.
Oh, is that not just absolutely stunning? Oh, the taste of ecstasy and denial, and he will always have peace of her with him. Oh, the taste of blood in poetry. I just found his storytelling so absolutely superb. This is imagery and I mean, it's just imagery at the ultimate ability of a writer. He just brings you into that story, and he makes you see and feel how he lives and breathes this. I've got to tell you that I did not hear the audio. I didn't listen to it. I had only read the poem, and the audio was fantastic. All of the skin slapping and the bone crushing and the grunts and everything. Stephen, you did a fabulous job on that. I, as you can see, why he won an award in the contest. But oh my goodness, that was brilliant. I got to say, Rackentor, please tell me what you thought of this.
See, I told you from the beginning that you pulled it out of us, but I guess he took that literally, huh? I thought it was a great take on the prompt. If you're going to record it, you know, commit to it. And he really committed to what he wrote, you know, the grunting and the tugging. You know, I could see him laboring away and making haste so that he doesn't get caught. You know, the idea of your teeth rattling around in his pocket. Now, any time someone, you know, jingles a coin or whatever, it's like, is that a coin? I wonder. Oh, man. You know, again, like you said, the storytelling, the whole idea, the thought of it. Yeah, I could see mementos. You know, serial killers do take souvenirs or have been known to take souvenirs. So, you know, there's that thought. You know, not that he killed you or anything, or maybe he did. He doesn't even allude to that portion of the story. This is the aftermath, and he just showed up to take his teeth and run with them. So, yeah, I appreciated that. Your perfect teeth.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
He did not bite them more than he could chew.
Yes.
Oh, my thoughts on it? Oh, man. What storytelling? In like Rack said, the committing, like full committing. It was, you could definitely, first you're kind of wondering what is happening, what is going on, you know, the extra exaggerated, you know, indentations and the word, but then the grunting, you're like, wow. And then like, I'm like wondering what exactly I'm thinking, like, oh, it's a, they're doing an autopsy or something. And then it just gets like slowly more revealing and slowly creepier and darker, and it's revenge, and it's just like, whoa, this you know, the smile that haunted him is now his, you know, his trophy. He survived the abuse or whatever was going on in this relationship. Apparently it drove him to the point of, I want that freaking grin in my pocket. And I
carry the evil grin in my pocket.
Right, and like it drove, like that smile must have been a knife. It must have been bullets. It must have been a sword through the heart every day. You know, this must have been somebody he loved and cared for at one time, at least, to be hurt so wickedly by a grin. But like here, he's having the last laugh, and it's that. It's like the metaphorical but literal last laugh in a way. And just, wow, what a production. That was great. That was awesome.
The smile that took delight in his pain.
Yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed it. I cannot say enough. What else? Okay, Adam, you want to read yours next? I don't know how much time you have. I mean, you can wait around. You can do whatever you want.
I'm going to hang out.
I can
so
play another.
I mean, you can go on. You can do whatever you want.
All right, cool. I've got a lot of recordings I can do, so I like to kind of get those. Hang out for a little bit, talk about recordings. Let's see. We'll go here. Dum-de-dum-de-dum. I know. Gotta go here. It's easier that way. I can rest my little voice while we do this.
Yeah, that poor voice.
There we go. I know. How about Frank? I'm going to do Frank. Frank has a vampiric poem. Go figure with this kind of saying he goes vampiric. Who wouldn't know? I got a couple. All right.
I wouldn't.
There we go. I didn't either, but we got Frank here. Hello, Frank. I know you're on the board. Hello, darling. Okay. Here we go with Frank. All right. Here we go, Frank.
veins are infused by vampiric blood, utterly consuming me with its substance, like the acid burning on my fiery tongue. The intoxication of its love is enrapturing. I bathe in the pool of the scarlet flood, perfumed by a strong, inescapable scent, as the Vestura evokes a sudden craving, quickening my taste of her carnal flesh. Her beauty is like the delicacy of a red rose, so natural and so pure in its real essence, that her soft ruby lips and her sweet kisses drown me within the passion of this love. I roam the sea and land like a madman, in search of the lover of my seduction, who had once breathed life into my veins within that midnight in the street of Madrid. Her love is like a row of deadly thorns, piercing my porcelain heart into shards, infecting me with the poison of her love, but I can't resist imbibing from its elixir. Thus, this vampiric love will destroy me if the sunrise does not burn me into ashes and I continue to be the wretched beast to the erotic desires of this exotic love. I have a thousand lovers who adore me, sensual pleasures to entertain my whims, but no one excites me like my vampiris, whose love is the ambrosia of immortality. I am a slave to the obsession of this love, and no other woman could possess me like the voluptuous mistress of darkness, and I go insane without the taste of her lips. Without her love, I die from inside slowly, like a flickering flame fading into the dawn, where I remain hidden in the shadows of death, waiting for my lover to undress my naked body. Mi amor, tu amor es la elección de la vida y la persecución de la inmortalidad. My dear, your love is the addiction to life and the pursuit of immortality. End of poem.
Wow. I was waiting for the laugh and I didn't get it, but that was a voice spread. the laugh coming, but he didn't give it to us. That was beautiful. I really liked it. Wow. That was very pretty, actually. Kind of spooky, sensual, romantic. Kind of different from you, but I really enjoyed it. Oh, wow. Way to be, Franklin. Kind of throw me off my game there. What do you think, Raconteur?
I liked it. Like you said, it spoke to the differences. You know, the things, some things that people are attracted to, and I think you know if he would have thrown in the laugh, it would have ruined the whole thing. The sensuality of it, it was really lovely, because of the subject matter. You know, it all has to go, at least for me, it centers around what the person is attracted to. And they're talking about the blood and the pursuit of immortality and vampires and things like that. So, you know, it took a definite left turn at, someplace else. And it went down a darker path, but it worked well. It was really lovely. I could picture the moon. He didn't mention it, but, you know, I'm still picturing the moonlight. And, you know, he did mention the sun and turning to ash, so I appreciated that, you know, because, you know, the antithesis of being a vampire. But, the whole thing was just very lovely.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Very much so. And, Adam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this was a... It was immersive, and I loved longing, like he's searching, and it's something he remembers. I'm creating like my own story to interweave, you know, in the narrative, like, which is what, you know, good writing or literature does. You know, you're imagining all the things not said too, you know, and if it's like the being a vampire on a whole, or a real vampirist, like another vampire that's really, I could took it either way, just the idea of being a vampire on the whole of it, or also having a vampire partner that you're longing to be with again, and just the taking through the tale, and it was such beautiful imagery, and so sensual, and my mouth was like, actually, my mouth was literally watering. I swear, whatever. It's like, wow. It's just what an image he painted. What a picture. And I want to say like his reading. I don't want to say theatrics. I feel like that lowers the stamp. What I mean, but I can't think of another word other than theatrics. But it really emotive. Well played to the character he was reading. It was well done. I loved it.
Okay, for most people, theatrical or it would be like a bad word, but he is a stage actor and a voice does stage voicing, so theatrical actually fits him.
Right. I didn't want that word to have the negative connotation from.
Right.
Right. I was trying to find a different word. I couldn't think of one.
But with Frank, I think he likes theatrical because he's a theater, like that's what he does. So, but I know, like most of the times when you say theatrical, it sounds like drama king or drama queen or something. So I know I get the negative connotations to it because I don't like being called a drama queen, even though I am most of the time. Hey, we got people. I got the pretty bird. Hello, pretty bird. And I got the AP. Hello, AP. How are you?
I am very well. How are you? Better than you from the sound.
I'm doing okay.
My voice is croaking and creaking and going strange angles.
Oh, unlike mine. Hey, pretty bird, how you doing, honey? I lost pretty bird. She went away. We had her and then she went away. She must start coughing again. All right.
There you go.
Pretty bird. I know.
She flew the coop.
She did. She'll come back, I'm sure.
Thinking, right?
All right.
Hey, what's up, AP?
Oh, I'm good.
AP was
Friday here, and I'm being very good. I'm not being very good.
Hey, it's Friday where AP lives. I like where AP lives. AP lives. I know. AP lives down under. Well, we just finished discussing Frank's poem. Yeah. Do you happen to did you hear Frank? Would you like to comment?
I hear it, but I was actually I had it in front of me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I did love the final piece. Without her love, I die from inside slowly, like a flickering flame fading into the dawn. And it's quite beautiful. Where I remain hidden in the shadows of death, which sort of adds that sort of macabre piece to the poem, which Frank always sort of seems to find a way to fit in. So beautifully written, particularly towards the end, and the last little piece, which I presume is in Spanish, Frank, is really, really.
Mi amor.
Hmm.
Okay, AP, I don't know what your time is, but I'm going to throw you on the board.
You can throw me on the board.
That's okay. Another fine writer of my contest who went so far back and forth, and just barely was squeaked out for a ribbon, so I apologize, but you were right up there till the end.
No, 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 no. It is what it is. It was actually fairly sort of, I don't know. We were very great writers, and they sort of hit it from two or three angles. I hit it just from one. This is Lifeblood, and it goes a little bit like this. You echo in a corridor of me as a mouse hurries around an empty house, bumping against the walls, and your messages bounce as metal pinballs hit by invisible clippers as I store remnants on my phone screen. I create shortcuts to get me back, skittering past those traps of darkness, staircases and gutters. The destination pinned in pictures creates a light patter of poetry, a trail of crumbs, while a tossing sea divides us. And I can imagine you within the salty froth as the oceans tumble, wooden lifeboats that are lurching closer to each other on a shared arc led by the beam of a lighthouse, formed by the warmth of two, until those spaces are captured upon the lifeblood of your presence in poem.
Well, since I wrote such a very crazy comment, I will just read my comment to everyone. You know, the first line of the poem totally drew me in. You echo in a corridor with me. I am absolutely jealous of that. I love you echo in a corridor with me. I just, bam. I want to stay there right there in the warmth of that. That was just stunning. That's going to be probably one of my favorite lines of yours for a very long time. Don't ever put it in a contest because I will remember that forever. And then you go into, you know, that I can imagine you with the salty froth of the ocean's tumble. Again, you can just taste the salt of that ocean, you know. And then you talk about, you know, the whole words of, in light of poetry, painting the pictures of yearning. And I can just, you know, feel that yearning of flesh. Because I'm still having that, you know, that quote is in my head. That quote is always running through my head. And, you know, until you get that flesh melting together and you get that lifeblood and that heat was formed. And I just, that whole essence of being and, you know, that poetry formed and taking the blood and that yearning and wanting. And that's kind of how that whole poem came together for me. And I really thought it was brilliant. And once again, thank you for writing for my contest. It meant a lot. So, Raconteur, your thoughts on this, please.
Yeah, the corridor of me line, you know, I want to make a cheesy joke about, you know, in the vein of, but, you know, I really can't. I appreciated that opening line. And then the mouse running around was, for me, it was relatable, you know, that chaotic scampering, you know, from one place to another, following the trail of crumbs. Beautiful visualization. I mean, the whole thing flowed lovely down to the salty ocean. So the thoughts of the taste of blood kind of lent itself to that for me. So I enjoyed it for that. I thought it was really lovely.
And we did manage to get Pretty Bird back. Sorry, AP, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Oh, say hi, Pretty Bird.
Hello, hello.
You had her?
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Is it my turn?
Stable on your perch.
Bless your wonderful comments. Yes, that first line, AP, is very much an eye catcher. It has this whole feeling to it, an echo. That kind of lonely, kind of stark-walled resonance that is amplified in terms of emotion, and it's beautifully depicted with the mouse in the big house, and when we get to the pinballs, like messages, like the little tings of notification in an otherwise unfeeling place, because you know it's a piece of machinery after all. I absolutely love that. This speaks to me of longing over distance. This, where you have those little beacons of light that kind of lead you home to that warmth. That and the ending, you know, until those spaces are captured upon the lifeblood of your presence, where if you hold on to all these little bits and pieces, these words, these little ways you know each other until you guys can finally meet again, or meet for the first time, or whatever the case may be. And it is a little painful and quite lonely. And Adam.
Yeah. Reiterate so much what everybody said from the beginning. It's a great storytelling throughout this. You know, it has a beginning, middle, and end. And it also leaves you wondering a lot about what was once. And because this is like a moment in time, obviously if there's an echo in the corridor of him, this essence of this person's been there before, and now it's like a journey to reunite, you know, and like unique metaphor throughout, an imagery that I love. It was very cool. I really liked it a lot, actually. I imagined, you know, I almost imagined the man rattling around, his wife or lover, whoever they may be, has gone to another place that he has to travel by boat. So I almost feel like you're taken back where you have to travel by boat, even though we mostly travel by plane anymore. Yet it has the modernization of like a phone, you know, and then also equating the ping ponging of that, those messages to like the mouse that, and like I just feel like it's someone that's going to travel and take their time to reunite with what they remember, with their love, I guess. It's a wonderful piece.
Thank you, Ben.
All right. Next one on the board is me, because now I have Pretty Bird. She can talk for me before she loses her voice. All right. This is the essence of ecstasy. Us. Between the hours of the sangry sunset and the bloodthirsty dawn, I lost my perspective in the world of right and wrong. Shameless, I worship the holy grail of your flesh, cursed by the symbols of ease, nakedness. I beg for your touch as fingers encroached the nape of my neck. I swallowed. Lips fueled by fire, seek mouths to devour, teeth intercepted, metallic embryonic memories tickled across tongues. Lost in the arrogance of lust, we fall, dust to dust. I quench my thirst from the blood in your veins, the trinity of love, lust, and desire, merge into one fold, into one, flowing into the essence of ecstasy, us, and poem. My, Miss Sweetie, I do so love the way you just pull us in with your candy at sunset and a bloodthirsty dawn. You know, Shameless is the only way to worship. I am just putting that out there. There is at this whole teeth intercepted metallic embryonic memory. I love that. I love the whole idea of that. I love when you, well, if we're going to go all bloodlust, when you take that taste, and, you know, blood has that metallic little tinge to it, and that whole embryonic memory, that whole link, the whole things coming back, and the small pieces that linger. And you get a taste for it or a memory of it, or it just kind of fills you up. And I absolutely love that. Where's the other one? The trinity of love, lust, and desire merge into one. You know what? That's how you do it. You know? Yeah, if you've got one and you know, it's all well and good, but if you want that well-rounded connection, you know, you kind of need to have that holy trinity of passion, and you depicted this very, very well. I absolutely love this. It is delicious. So, AP, what are your thoughts on the ecstasy of meat?
Who did you ask, Pretty Bird? Sorry.
Oh, I don't know if you heard me, because you were breaking up. It's your thoughts on sweet ball.
Aha. Okay. A little backstory first. A little backstory first, because I sort of really liked the last poem, but then when I did the poem we did on the nighttime naughty show with the hair and the shower and stuff, my sweet love decided that she would put that out and put that next to her bed. Okay? That was the weak poem. But I'm here to say that I'm not going to show her this poem because mine might get thrown away and this might get put there instead because this is really hot.
I know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Well, you know, girly knows how to be sexy. And Adam, what are your thoughts?
I was fully enraptured and at the edge of my being listening and sinking my teeth in. And I loved my favorite word she used, the whole piece, and it just rang in my ear was encroached. I just loved it. I was like, oh, I never see that word often, you know, like, and I just, and it painted a picture in my mind of these two imaginary characters in my head what was playing together, and the taste, that's indeed, this was blood in the teeth. That seems to be the ringing true principle that's sticking out, but the passion, you know, it's the utter passion that, and it could be taken so many. What a sensual piece. I'm dang near without words here. That was awesome.
Thank you.
That was spellbinding. I loved it.
Thank you. And that voice of hers doesn't hurt at all, does it? And Rack and Tor, your thoughts on this ecstasy?
See, the beauty of her words, not that they're imaginary characters, that you put yourself in that spot. You almost can't help but put yourself in that spot when you hear that voice, I think. But, you know, I mean, the beauty of the scenario that you kind of paint, you know, it's hard not to want to be the one that you're writing about, you know, or at least thinking about. It's those things that... about passion.
That could kill him.
Kill me. Wrong night.
Oh,
yeah.
My
okay.
Goodness. You're killing me, small fact. Back to you, my sweet. All righty then. Well, I think that we are going to go ahead and throw up Adam next because I'm dying to hear him read this. I have read it in my own little voice, but I think it is my turn to have him read. So let me get on that.
And, you want me to put it up
yeah,
there?
Yeah, that would be great. And AP, I don't know if
I'd be nice if I was on the job. So sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's still in the contest. I don't even think I moved it up yet. Just FYI, AP, I don't think you have anything to worry about. Just so you know. Just saying. Your Sunday night poem is just safe as can be.
All right, so this is called Survive. A surge curling, rising from within. Breaks through the surface of depth with each forcing breath. each step giving way beneath the weight. I dig in, I fight, even as waves rise to meet in storming seas. I collide with every ounce of what I have in eye. Lashes do sting, but not as bad as tears, which have filled the once dry riverbeds of hope I held and wandered in stride, a barren landscape of empty, hollow, lost whys. And now it's a burling ocean of pain, twisted and knotty, hurt. Still I wander, swimming in the dragging riptides, swallowing the bitter puke of water with every struggled gasp. I haven't seen reprise or a place to rest a weary mind, clinging in calamity to the fog of ghosts. I refuse to be blind, and I will last the test of time. I invoke passion and set fire to the skies, for the North Star won't shine. I'll leave this life behind, set course that I've never before tried to defy. The rage of when it all crumbles into a smoldering heap will always remind me to survive in peace.
I got to tell you, I just, you made me feel, you know, you feel your desire, you feel your yearning, the need to conquer, to take control. And, you know, your imagery is, you just feel that power, you know, the rage of when it all comes crumbling to a smoldering heap. We will always remind me to survive, you know. You're just going to have that urge to survive and go forward and move forward and do what you've got to do. I find that very, very powerful in your piece. And
thank you.
Just beautiful. Just powerful. And AP, your thoughts?
Well, see, I sort of see this as the difference between the chicken at breakfast and the pig, you know? The chicken does the egg, and it's sort of slightly committed to the thing, and you sort of get that sense that, you know, it feels okay about it. But the pig, see, it's committed. You know, it's a piece of its backside sitting on fire on that fry pan. And that was the depth, I think, and the commitment and the belonging that this poem had. It was the commitment of the bacon, not the commitment of the egg.
Thank you, Epi.
I bet she moved herself.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I was wondering
if
anybody there.
I did. Rack, your thoughts.
Oh, I'm too stuck on you muting yourself. This kind of speaks of, you know, life beating you down, and no matter what happens, of course, if you know, whatever reason that you refuse to roll over and play dead, you know, it's just very, very impassioned and emotional.
All right.
Thanks, Rick.
And Freebird, your thoughts? This is a painful, painful piece, but it is also triumphant. It goes through a depth of pain that you acknowledge and you don't want to not see. And better to face it head on, understand it, and then and fight through it, then let it swallow you whole. And you go through all of this, and there is these tears that fill that dry riverbed into an ocean, and it's drowning you, and still you want to face it head on. And this whole "I'll leave this life behind" and set courses I never before tried to defy, you know, it takes a certain, my brain is not working because I have no recall of words today, but it takes a certain of strength, a certain perseverance to look at all that is weighing you down, making it easy to give up, and say, yeah, F me, no, F you, and use that to propel yourself into a better place that turns its back on that having already taken it in. So I kind of love how it faces it head on, and it's not that it is necessarily conquered or conquers you. It's, well, okay, I've dealt with it, we're good, and your ocean can flow way the heck over there in joy, and I'm going to go over here where it's dry. I'll find it somewhere. I know it's in this direction. And I think that's really, really powerful. And it's the verbiage you use is very stark and very kind of jagged in its imagery, which kind of makes you take notice. There's nothing soft about it, which I appreciate.
Wow, thank you.
I will survive. Hey, hey.
If you're hearing noise on your line, it's pretty Vert. She's making all the noise. Can't take
I'm making
time.
Noise?
Sorry.
She's
rushing
the
feathers.
Ugh. I hear nothing. I don't hear any crackling, any anything. So,
my apologies.
Yeah. Just
mute.
Feel free to mute me.
Yeah, just let you know.
Since I was furthest away, I just assumed it was me.
Now, did it all go away for everybody?
Yeah.
See, I put Pretty Bird on mute.
Oh.
See, now we all get it back.
That's what I have to read now.
I know. I'm going to put Pretty Bird in the studio, so Pretty Bird, you're going to read now.
I tried to direct call, but it wouldn't even let me hear the show or anything. There was no sound coming in or out. So I don't know what's going on. I don't hear any noise. So I'm sorry that you guys do.
You sound clear on my end.
Yeah, I get background noise from you too, so, but that's okay. I'm not too worried about it. We'll get through it. All right. Let's see you up there, pretty girl.
All right.
Bird songs.
Bird songs.
Now this is Carnage. Okay. This is Carnage or Catharsis, the Consequences of Caring. And it goes like this. A glance cut through conviction, clawed through pretense, leaving raw flesh where defenses should be. Eyeing me naked as he kissed the wounds and never turned away, an unsafe place for us both. Canines drag a pulse a little too deep and metal feet bravado. And it is I who stares in awe at how good you look for us. Never one to bleed alone, we share pain, grasping at straws, trying to breathe through liquid air. As we languished, wet skin, bleeding truth, lying in pleasured pain, I never turned away. Loss cannot reach the depth to which I still taste you, wondering if either of us knew alive, wondering if my raw flesh blinded you beautiful. Even ink trying to discern if it was fear that locked your gaze that clawed me open in an unsafe place for his soul. Still, my mouth filled with metallic memories, how did you enter? And vomit.
Okay, so how does one actually breathe after listening to you read and then think that this is the world afterwards? Because I don't even know how to describe. So we both use metallic memories. That's funny to me. I didn't even know that. I just love this. Canines drag a pulse a little too deep, metal teeth, bravado, and it is I who stares in awe at how good you look in bed. It's just a bravo piece, my dear. I absolutely fell in love with it.
Thank
I am going to let AP comment, but I'm going to put you on mute while he does. Go ahead, AP.
Thank you. What?
I too really liked this poem. And the glance through conviction, the clawed through pretense. It's something really sort of, I don't know, it's got quite a magical sense about it. I love the repetition of the lines of how good you looked in red in an unsafe place for us both. I thought that was brilliant. And really cleverly done. It was a story and it followed all the way through. Now, floss isn't even my thing. I'm not a big floss fan, but I still really liked it when you used it, which surprised me a little because, you know, I wasn't expecting to, but I did. So, I really like everything about it. Brilliant person.
Yeah. All right, so I am going to put her back on, and then I'm going to do the same thing with Adam and shut her down. So hold on. All right, Preeper, you're up.
It's so weird to be shut up. I appreciate that. Thank you so much, AP.
All right, I'm going to give Adam a turn. Go ahead, Adam.
Right away, I'm captured and I'm like following every step of the way here, and throughout all the sensual imagery and metaphor and I see this what's the word? I'm losing it. Almost hunger to be closer either way between parties and this release tells me so much almost more in the underneath all this depth and what we can assume from this the broad stroke is the understanding of two seeing each other as they are, naked and unafraid, and how jarring and cathartic that can be. This is so amazing. Like just the way everything goes, the way it carries all the way through. I mean, I see connection here. I see like intense connection beyond, you know, and it's just, wow, I'm really speechless and I don't even think I can formulate what I'm actually comprehending coming from this. I feel like there's so much more really. And I'm just,
cool.
My words are not enough.
There you go, pretty bird.
The words you can't say.
That is really nice. Amazing. Thank you. I appreciate that. There's this piece. It's funny. When I first read this prompt, I went all Sunday night on this thing. But when it came time to write it, I was not in that mental place. And this was a very vulnerable piece. And because, you know, it's really tough to be seen. For most people, when you're so used to everybody gets bits and pieces and you don't let people in. And then, you know, all kinds of hell breaks loose when you do. So there's that.
Awesome. And Rackin, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to make a shameless joke about being blind and not being able to tell you what I see, but I will tell you what it made me feel. Your relationship with words... It is what led me to, you know, follow you and start admiring your work from the very beginning. You know, you could tell how you feel about the things that you write and what you bleed onto the page. And, you know, just from the title alone, you know, when caring is, and you know, almost regretting that you care,
And then you throw in things about, you know, the canine teeth digging deep, you know, you flirt with the things about, you know, truth and what's been said and represented in conversations that you've had, you know, fact or fiction, you know, it still bleeds into real life and it still pulls out the emotion, you know, whether it really happened or not, whether it's a moment in time or, you know, a memory of a moment that you pull into it, you know, you drag us through that motion. And by the time you get to the end, you know, you can't help but feel, you know, flayed. and I don't know why, you know, I keep coming back for more, but, you know, cut me open, I guess. It's just, yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy it.
That's awesome. And it's almost like I write with bladed tongue. I can live with that.
Nice. All right. Go back to the board, people. Let's see what we got. Before I lose my voice, and that's not going to do us any good at all. All right.
Works for me.
Oh, no. Let's see. Crystal. All right. Hey, P, you want to read one for me?
Of course.
Good. I'm going to have you read Crystal for me.
I can do that.
There you go.
Perfect. It's up there. Now, I've just a little interlude here, sweet, for one sec, to say, Hatter, if you're listening to this show, for God's sake, send me a message or call me. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
so,
please. I agree.
I've been trying to call him for the past 2 hours. Only 23 calls. For God's sake, call me. Right, okay, now I've got that out of the way. This is Words of a Withered White Rose by Crystal, and it goes a little bit like this. Bleeding apple orchids crumble me to pieces. I knew it was never going to be easy. I whispered to the thorns you possessed that you knitted to my beating chest. I was unravelled, undone of granite thread, with ignorant red flags I had set. I withered like an ivory rose in the brink of moonlight, dying of dehydration of a starless night. Dreams shattered by the elements of my own mind, regarding the charcoal pearls that refused to shine. Dark clouds of jasmine and cobalt left my blackberry eyes fall to fault. Snake skin slithers up on crystal vines, crimson vines, of the love I thought was mine. Dripping blood where shadows grow is the statue of a withered white rose. End poem.
Okay, that's stunning. I love you whispered this book. You whispered to the thorns you possess that you knit it to my beating chest. That is some great imagery. I think she really kind of nailed this prompt a lot. Dripping blood where shadows grow and the statue of a withered white rose. You know, she wrote it to Sky's contest. I'm going to pretend it's mine. but I think it really felt it fulfilled both. I just like the longing and the pain of all of that, even though I won't quote the snake skin because I'll leave that for someone else. But AP, you read it. What did you think?
Well, I added Crystal in there because I just had to. The snake skin line. No, isn't it a terrific piece? Even though the lines are of different length, the word count sort of makes it flow beautifully down the page, and so it actually reads beautifully. The imagery is quite intense, but completely appropriate and consistent and just beautifully expressed. What?
Absolutely. All right. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
You know, there is something about writing in couplets it's not quite as slideshow-ish as vignettes, where you've got kind of chapter one, chapter two, chapter three, and these little scenes. But each couplet is its own thought, and you take pause, and you can just sit there and contemplate each set of lines on its own, which I find fabulous. But I was unraveled, undone of granite threads. You know, that idea of granite threads, of it being sewn in stone. First of all, I love that, you know, granite is hard, and threads are well, they can be hard, but they're not firm like that. And it is, when it's set in stone and still undone, that is really heartbreaking, you know. When it comes to the love that you thought was yours, you know, dreams shattered by the elements of my own mind. That is my comfort zone right there. That's where I live all the damn time. And it's almost hard to see in writing when it's something that's familiar, you know. And I love that couplet completely, just completely. Dripping blood where shadows grow. You know, where there is no light, or where there is minimal light, and there's shadows abound, and when they drip from where you can cut open and for nothing, it's usually the people we care about the most that can say that are the only ones that can slice this so deep. So this to me carries a whole lot of emotion, and I like the darker side of Crystal. I'm used to two or more hopeful pieces, but I like the darker side of Crystal.
I agree. I've always liked a little bit of a dark Crystal. And Adam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I would just echo mostly everything that was said. I felt a deep a feeling of being neglected or used or tossed aside. My favorite, I'm like reading this over and over, and I think my favorite couplet is, I withered like an ivory rose in the brink of moonlight, dying of dehydration of a starless night. I just, it's almost, it's, you know, I feel it so much right there. Like, I almost feel like suddenly I am this, you know, this flower reaching out. Like, I need this, I need it, I'm reaching out, and it's not there. It's right, it's about to be there, I know it's coming, here it is, it's on, but then it's just not there, and the devastation of the great emptiness, that of the realization. So many beautiful lines here, such interesting imagery. I love that couplet you mentioned, Sweet, and then knitted into my beating chest. Like, that's, wow, like, what that paints in your mind, and you almost feel it suddenly, you know, you feel it, like, across your chest, like the stems of a rose just being sewn into you. Man, that's, wow, this is an amazing piece.
Absolutely. And Rack and Floor, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like the contradictory metaphors or opposing thoughts. You know, when you use something, for me, you know, when I read something beautiful being used to represent something dark, you know, she's presenting us a white rose, but it's withering and dying. So that kind of you know, leads that emotion and walk you down that path. When you talk about something written in stone, but it's going away anyway, you know, the when you give examples like that. It really kind of hammers home the emotion and the point that you're making for me. So I really appreciated it for that. And it wasn't really so much a roller coaster. It was just, you know, tug at me. You know, it was dark. I almost want to say, you know, she lost hope, because it wasn't that part of her name. Now it's not. Crystal Hope, but now it's not. Anyway, you guys are commenting about her writing dark, so anyway, that was my thought. I enjoyed it, Crystal.
Good comment. All right, we have one home left, and that is Allie.
And I am going to go ahead and read that. And then my poems are done for the night, and we're going to say goodnight. I have a couple more left for my contest, but I am going to go ahead and save those for next week. We're going to transfer those over to next week. Because my readers are here, and I like to hear them read, and that's Deb and a couple of others. And I prefer those readers read their stuff because I've already gotten that. And once again, I want to thank everybody for being there. Plus, my voice is giving out on me anyway. So thanks, everybody, for being here. I appreciate it. Rack and Tor for being here, and Adam for being here, and AP for being here, and Pretty Bird for being here, and as always, being my lovely host. So let's go to...
Before we finish with the last poem, I do have a show tomorrow. Figure we'll do the little announcements and then finish with the poem and go.
Yes. Okay. Announcements. Tomorrow we are doing 450 Seymour. I do not see anything on the list for tomorrow. Saturday night is...
Saturday night's back to school.
Yes.
Is it back to school?
On that, so there's no topic board, but it's on the calendar, so there's no Sweet and Dour tomorrow.
AP and I have not talked about it. So if there was, I would think I would know, but I don't know. That's
okay.
Up in the air. Let's go with that. AP and I have not talked about it, so there may or may not be. Huh?
And so keep our eyes peeled. Just check the board often.
Yeah. It depends on how I feel. Let's go with that. I'm still not 100%. My voice is still kind of up in the air. There is Saturday night with Hatter, AP, and Deb.
Mm-hmm.
And the word of
the
week
is school.
School, yeah. Sunday night, keep your eyes peeled for that, but I believe it's Easter Sunday and everyone is taking the night off.
Yes, but
and then,
since we have the topic up, can we talk about it for the next Sunday so that they have time, like on a very not-so Sunday? Okay. All right. Okay, so not this Sunday, which is Easter Sunday, but the Sunday after, which I think is the 24th, over in our sister group, the Adult Lounge, which is 18 and over only. You do have to state your age. There are some requirements, but go peruse that group. And it is a Soul Tree Slam. We are going to do a poetry slam type night where it's going to be, I guess, spoken word and all kinds of good stuff, but it's naughty night, so it'll be like that. But if you're interested in checking that out, go over to the Adult Lounge.
Yes. And Monday night, the 18th, is Art by LSE, Deb's Picture Prompt Show, which is amazing. Get in there, get your picture prompt picked. And also, I'm going to promote her show the following week on the 25th, which is pretty exciting. And that is Prompts by the Board Members. Get in there, and those are all lines from me, AP, Deb and Hatter, so that's kind of a fun contest. I'm pretty excited about that one. All right.
And I think Tuesday is Rack. He's just not quite on the topic board yet.
Okay.
But the it's going to be choices.
Okay. So we got a lot coming at us, this team of voices. That's pretty cool. And this is, now we're going to do Allie Sunshine 3. Love and blood, the way you look at me. My blood is boiling. How? How after everything I've been through, that we've been through? Could you ever think to tell me I wasn't good enough? What made you want to tell me that? Was it the fact that I finally spoke up? The words rolling out of my mouth like blood does after you lose a tooth? Did they scare you? Did they shock you?
Were you shocked the other night when you heard me praying, asking God to help you, so that I had you back in my life, at least to see me graduate? You said my poetry wouldn't get me far. Well, it has. I'm sorry you can't hear it, though. I'm sorry that when you can, you choose not to. When you looked at me that night, left me shocked. You seemed worried and nervous for once. That was the first time I'd seen you look like that. I believe in second chances. You've already gotten yours. You just have to work in that second chance. And then maybe you'll see that I'm enough. I'm different. I'm enough. So I leave the reader with one question. Which line stood out to be the most and why? You know, Allie always asks those questions at the end of the poem. She asks the reader, well, I think I like the fact you finally said you're enough. You are enough, and I think that you should always stand on that, Allie. Always remember that you're enough. And you don't have to answer to anyone but to yourself. And you have to stay true to yourself. And I think that that's the way to be. Okay? So you have a good thought and stay positive and don't worry so much about what everybody else thinks. So, Raconteur, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's very empowering. It's good to hear her stand up for herself and kind of push back a little bit. You know, the tone of a lot of her other poetry has been the opposite end of that, and I enjoyed this assertiveness side of her.
Absolutely. And Freebird?
Which line stood out to me the most? Well, it is, what made you want to tell me that? I mean, how many times do people say things out of nowhere that serve no other purpose than to rip you open? And why would they do that? Why do they do that? Why do we all do that on some level? And half the time, we don't even realize it, you know? But when it's done on purpose, it's hard to imagine why they would do anything like that, say things to hurt somebody else. It just seems an unreasonable thing. And it's something that doesn't go away. You'll ask yourself that question in a multitude of situations, whether it's work or friends or family or strangers on the street that, you know, they accidentally bump into you, then they want to curse you out. Like, what the hell did I do? I was standing here, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it feels like crap regardless, and only obviously more when it's someone who you love who's supposed to love you back. And that line is the line that lingers.
Excellent. And you have the last word on sweet discussion tonight. Give it to me.
This was a wonderfully was I supposed to have the last word? I don't know.
You said give it to me, now we can't speak. That's what it is.
And then I was I'm blushing. Okay. This was a wonderfully strong piece, which was said. I love the affirmation of finding yourself within this piece. Or, you know, at least in this moment. And it was beautiful, and I love that strength you found, and still delicate and loving in it. You know, there's some visceral lines in here that, like, wow. But the fact that you're still standing up for yourself, but still, like, I'll give you the second chance, and yeah, that is your last chance, but it's still a chance. It's still open. The door hasn't shut on that chance, and make the best of it. You know, it's like you don't want this to go to the wayside. You know, you want them to take advantage of a second chance. And what line exactly? I love the idea of you're praying for them, and yet they overhear, and it's not you know, received well, like, that you, you know, you pray for, and it's just like, wow, that's so destructive to, you know, to yourself, but you really find strength in this, and you are enough, and what a wonderful piece.
Absolutely. Thank you. All right, you guys. You guys rock. Sweet discussion tonight. Thanks, everybody out there for listening, too. I had a great time. Thanks for being with me. I will talk to you guys soon again. Have a great night. Happy Easter to everybody this weekend. We'll talk soon. Bye, everybody. Love and respect.
Night.
Good
night, Amadeus.
Good night. Happy Easter.
Good night.
Happy Easter, everybody. Good night.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.